Good evening.
Good evening.
Is it just you?
Yes.
Okay.
So far.
Malka.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Ana Bakoa. Ana Bakoa, Yudua Chimina, Tati, Serra, Alephet Gimel, Yutah Sadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagbenu, Kaharenu, No Ra, Fresh Iron, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Hudha, Kivava, Shamrem, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yutkashin. Barchem tacharem, rachame sitkatcha, tamid gamlem, betet reish, saritat gimel, tasim kadosh, perov tucha, nael adata, tet kufbet, tet manayan, yachid geye, Lamcha b'nei zokre kidushata Yud gimel lamed pei zayin ku Shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu Yodea talubo Shin kufal tzadi yuta. We've brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notzer Chesed L'alafim, No say awon wafesha bechata v'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing the tool, a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parashah Yitro, Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud. Ishu, Ishinte, Bithilu, Urchimud, Hilu, Hilu, Urchimu, Leakta, Lishem, Yudhe, Bavave, Yehuda, Shalim, Bishem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vaihino, Amadunai, Eloheinu, Aleinu, Masei, Adenu, Kanane, Aleinu, Masei, Adenu, Kananehu. Rabbi Abba Amar, the Kamatar, Dane Nandaku, Chabarihu. Boma de Aved, Leila, with Tata, Kolaihu, Kishok, Beovada, Dikshok, Beleila, Mila, Bialma, Vae Barnash. Vedach yaleya mineya ulan haga veyakalana dehakuru ovada bikshot inun wikola itzirik bealma. The energy of this year, 5780, is a revealed energy of compensation and a concealed energy of shefa. The way we reveal the Shefa and connect it to the compensation is by studying a verse from the Tanakh, that connects to both energies. Today we will study Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4. Hatishpod otam, hatishpod ben adam, et toavot avotam, odiem. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We study one verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom liami li Israel untati vishakan. Tata willo yirgaz od willo yosifu. Vene avla la anoto ka asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter out loud with its root vowel in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shila lahe aka aka heta hezayo alada la awahe heya. Yozala me behe, e reyo he kome, la awa la kala yo ala, la wawa pehe la, nu lacha yo 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 me la he te te wa, nu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he, reyo yo awa me, la ka be wa shi re. Yo he wa la he he ta wa ko me nu da. Anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za. He 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 me yo ha wa wa la nyo la he. Ta a la re yo a shi la me yo he. Wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me. Nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo. Nu me me yo yo la he re he me ta re. Wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he yo. Da me be me nu ko a do a yo a he be wa. Re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We'll now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu wa ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me. La wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo me nu hey he he wa. Nu yo hey he shi a yo re ta shi a he. Re la yo wa wa me la yo pe wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ka wa ko me nu ta. Anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za. Hey she hey me kaha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la re yo a la me ta hey wa hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu hey a nu wa ta me la hey pe a yo nu ko me yo re la hey be hey me za re wa hey be yo a hey a la wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The names of the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the ninth day of Tammuz. Rabbi Yekuziel Yehuda ben Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Halberstam is known as the Klassenberger Rebbe. Rabbi David Lifshitz, Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Dayan, Rabbi Zalman Sarovskin. Rabbi Moshe Chevroni. Please join me in saying the Shema, the first two lines, by closing your eyes, covering your eyes, and leaning slightly to the left, as we say together, Shema Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. Now for the Esser Dibrot. Vaydaber Elohim et kol ha-divarim ha-eile le-mor. Anochi Adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawanu heyo. Elohecha asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi-bet avadim. Lo yehielecha Elohim acherim, al panai lo ta'aselecha, la'aretz lo tishtacha ve'lachem, ve'lo ta'avem ki anochi, Adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawanu heyo, Elohecha. El kana poked awon avot al banim al shileshim. We are rebeim lesonai weose chesed la lavim. Leo havai usomre mitzvotai lo tisa. Et shem Adonai yohewahe adanu yo, yohahe dawanu heyo, Elohecha. Lashav ki lo yinake Adonai yohewahe adanu yo, yohahe dawanu heyo. Et asher yisa et shemo lashav. Zachor et yom ha-shabbat kadsho sheshet yamim ta'af vod avri asita kal melach techav yom ha-shvi shabbat ladonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawanu heyo. Elohecha lo taseh, kol melacha ata uvincha, uvitecha avdecha, viyamadcha uhemtecha, vegercha asher bisharecha, ki sheshet yamim masa Adonai, yohewahe adanu yo. Yohahe dawanu heyo, et hashamayim v'et haaretz, et hayam v'et kol asher bam, v'yanach b'yom hashvi. Al kein berach Adonai yohewahe adanu yo, yohahe dawanu heyo, et yom hashabbat. Vayikadshehu kabed et avicha v'et ha'imecha l'ma'an ya'arikun yamecha al ha'adam asher adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawanu heyo. Elohecha noten lach lo tirtzach, lo tina, Lo tigno, lo ta nebire aha, et shaker lo tachmot bait reecha, lo tachmot eshet reecha, viavdo viamato, vishoro vichamoro, vichol asher lereecha. And now for the Ani meditation, which we will use to climb the tree. Malchut, yo aheni wa yo hei, yo aheni wa yo hei, yo aheni wa yo hei. Yesod, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu, yu ahuni wu yo hu. Od. You are huni wu yahu. You are huni wu yahu. You are huni wu yahu. Netzach. Ye ahini wu yohi. Ye ahini wu yohi. Ye ahini wu yohi. Tiferet. Yo ahuni wu yoho. Yo ahuni wu yoho. Yo ahuni wu yoho. Gevura. Yeah, Niwiosh. Yeah, Niwiosh. Yeah, Niwiosh. Chesed. Yeah, anyway, yo hair. Yeah, anyway, yo hair. Yeah, anyway, yo hair. Bina. Yeah, anyway, yo hair. Yeah, anyway, yo hair. Yeah, anyway, yo hair. Achma. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Keter. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. The Ma meditation. Yud, Yud Hey, Yud Hey Wav, Yud Hey Wav, Hey Yud, Yud Hey, Yud Hey Wav, Yud Hey Wav, Hey Yud, Yud Hey, Yud Hey Wav. Yud hey wav hey yud, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey yud, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey. And the Kaddish. It kadav it kadash me rabba. We all say amen. The almadi ra kirute viyam lik malchute bechaye honu viyomecho uvachaye de kol beit Yisrael va'agala uvizman kariv. Vid barach, vid tabach, vid par, vid roman, vid nase, vid nadar, vid tale, vid talal, shemede kucha, le'ela min kol birkata v'shirata, tushvechata v'nechemata, da'amiran bi'alma, kehe shlama rabba min shamaya, Lechaim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Ose shalom b'imromav, hu yase shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Tonight's class is the writings of the Ari, although it's going to be some other authors tonight. You'll find the handout on the ARE landing page, which is on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. That will open up a landing page of all of the writings from these sages and from the ARE. Please scroll down to Parasha Hukat, and we will open up the link that's for the paradoxical laws. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud after we say the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoa in a whisper. L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Baruch Hu, Ishkin David, Hilu Urchimu, Hilu Hilu Urchimu. Le'acha L'shem Yudhei Bavate, V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kod Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayihino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kamenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kamenei. Paradoxical laws. Via irony, we can approach an understanding of the divine. And this is an essay by Rabbi Isaiah Horowitz, who's known as the Sheni Luchot Abrit. It's the title of the book that he wrote, one of the many. Generally speaking, the term decrees of the omnipresent, in Hebrew it's Gezirot HaMakom, is understood to imply decrees that cannot be explained rationally. This is also the way Maimonides explains this term in the Mishnah, where we are told that if someone claims that the law of chasing away the mother bird prior to taking its young is an expression of God's mercy, such a person must be stopped, since we must not interpret God's laws as being based on human sensitivities. God's laws do not need a rational order, do not need a rationale in order for us to observe and cherish them. Maimonides was attacked for having made such a statement, as is well known. At any rate, if it is as Maimonides says, then all the mitzvot are merely decrees that need not be investigated as to their specific rationale. I am adding, for some people, this search for meaning behind or within the mitzvot is a tool to unite the pintaliyah, the small spark that never is lost, no matter how depraved one's actions. Nothing could be a greater proof of the divine authenticity of Torah than these so-called contradictions. We have another midrash which compares the legislation of the red heifer to a king who enters a country and to whom his subjects say, "Please impose upon us some decrees." The king replies, "Once you have accepted me as your sovereign, I will begin to make decrees." Similarly, Hashem said to Israel, "Since you have accepted my sovereignty, when I said I am the Lord your God, etc., now accept my decree not to have any other deity." There is an illuminating comment by the Maharam from Padua on the Sefer Hagadah of Maimonides, so commenting on the miracle by which the world was created and how contradictory it seems that certain celestial bodies are sources of light, while others only reflect light, having none of their own to give. Some stars race around the universe, others travel at a leisurely pace. Some natural phenomena exude heat, and others cold. All this phenomena are examples of contradictions. Nonetheless, they are all part of the same universe. What is so strange that if the Torah contains some laws that appear contradictory? On the contrary, nothing could be a greater proof of the divine authority of Torah than these so-called contradictions. Had Torah been man-made legislation, surely it would have reflected the lawgiver's consistency. Surely when God created nature, he did so with intelligence. This then must be our answer when confronted by those who claim that the Torah's mitzvot are devoid of reason, only intended to assert God's authority over his creatures. Our answers to such arguments must be that this would be a very poor way for God to win adherence to his law. Surely if he had only wanted to secure our obedience, he would have legislated only laws that we could comprehend, and by which their logic would make us accept him as our supreme authority. The only reason that he legislated such apparently illogical laws must be that they are beneficial to us, though we do not understand how. A condition due to the limitation of our perceptive faculties. But that's the end of this essay. We'll just continue forward with the next one. This title is Under the Yoke of the Oral Torah. How holy was the red heifer? And this is a teaching of Rabbi Bachya ben Asher. Bring a completely red young cow upon which no yoke was laid, and you shall give it to Eleazar the Kohen, and he shall take it outside the camp and slaughter it in his presence. The red cow is an allusion to the Oral Torah, the attribute of justice in its most severe form. This attribute is a source of ritual impurity. The reason why this chore was given to Eleazar to perform was in order that he should address the attribute of justice in its most concentrated form. Such thoughts should not be held against him, seeing it stated repeatedly that all offerings are addressed to Havaya, the attribute of mercy. As it was slaughtered outside holy precincts and was not considered as a sacrificial offering. The reason that this red cow was slaughtered outside the holy precincts of the temple was in order for it to be able to chase away or diffuse the spirit of impurity. This is why the remains of the cow, its ashes, together with the water from an original source, living waters, would affect purification by means of the vessel within which it was contained. Purity is derived from an influence exerted by the attribute of mercy, an emanation higher than that of Gevurah, the attribute of justice, that responsible for every kind of impurity. You will need to appreciate that some Kabbalists are in doubt whether the fact that the procedure involving the red cow was carried out completely outside the confines of the temple meant that it represented a higher degree of sanctity than that which pervaded the sanctuary. In other words, everything connected with the red cow would have represented Holy of Holies, whereas only a small portion of the sanctuary itself was designated as Holy of Holies. If so, the level of sanctity represented by the red cow, as well as by its remains, would have been superior to that of the sacrificial animals offered on the altar inside the precincts of the temple, so that there was really no comparison between the red cow and its counterparts inside the holy temple. On the other hand, some Kabbalists think that the reason the procedure of the red cow was conducted outside holy precincts points to the fact that its sanctity was below that of even the lowest level of sanctity inside the holy precincts, and that this is the reason that no part of it was processed inside those confines. These people then raise the following question. Assuming that the red cow was of such a high level of sanctity as the levels of sanctity in the temple, how could it possibly confer impurity on its uncontaminated neighbor? These people then raise the following question. Assuming that the red cow was of such a high level of sanctity as the levels of sanctity in the temple, how could it possibly confer impurity on its uncontaminated handlers? On the other hand, if it was of such inferior sanctity that it had to be slaughtered and its remains kept outside sacred ground, how is it capable of conferring purity on the previously impure? I am adding, in other words, how and why does the mechanism work? The fire of the Shekhinah displaces or relegates terrestrial fires. Some Kabbalists answered these questions by saying that indeed the entire red cow was holy of holies, and that the reason it conferred impurity on its handlers was that any pure person on earth will automatically become impure through contact with extraterrestrial purity, celestial purity, or sanctity. This concept is reflected in the Torah's phrase, anyone touching the altar will become holy, will be burnt, as had happened to the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. Total terrestrial sanctity is relegated when it confronts celestial sanctity. What applies to relative sanctity, i.e. terrestrial sanctity, versus celestial sanctity, also applies to terrestrial purity as opposed to celestial purity. This may be the meaning of the Talmudic concept that one category of fire displaces, relegates another fat category of fire, that the fire of the Shekhinah displaces or relegates terrestrial fire. The Talmud there describes the penalty incurred by the angels who had opposed the creation of Adam by saying that he did not deserve God's consideration. God is reported as having stretched out his finger at these angels and burning them. If differences in the quality of fire exist among the angels in the celestial regions, it is easy to understand why terrestrial fire should be inferior to even the lowest of the celestial fires. According to some Kabbalists, red cow was entirely in the category of Holy of Holies. Personally, I feel that in some respects it was holy, whereas in other respects it was totally secular in status. Seeing that the red cow transmits a spirit of ritual impurity, it contains a purely secular element.
Gesundheit.
Thank you. If differences in the quality of fire exist among the angels in the celestial regions, it is easy to understand why terrestrial fire should be inferior to even the lowest of the celestial fires. According to some Kabbalists, the red cow is entirely in the category of Holy of Holies. Personally, I feel that in some respects, it was holy, whereas in other respects it was totally secular in status. Seeing that the red cow transmits a spirit of ritual and purity, it contains a purely secular element. Seeing, however, that the Torah refers to it as a chatat, acting as a means to expiate, it must also contain an element of holiness. Because of that fact that it is composed of two opposite elements, the Torah applied stricter rules to it than applies to the other animals, which serve as sacrificial offerings on the altar. Seeing no one is in doubt about their status, the bodies of people whose death is due to a kiss of Hashem do not become ritually impure. The reason that the Torah writes here about the rules of purification for people contaminated by impurity conferred by contact with the dead is that the ash of the red cow is so crucial in the purification process of such people. The root cause of living creatures contracting spiritual impurity dates back to the original cause of death, the serpent of the Garden of Eden. Nachmanides writes that the bodies of people whose death is due to a kiss of God do not become ritually impure. The prophet Zechariah in that verse describes the elimination of death, the angel of death, and other things. In the future, he employs the simile of the great mountain, which will be flattened at that time, describing the overcoming of the greatest obstacle in our lives on this earth prior to the coming of the Mashiach. This is what Maimonides had in mind when he stipulates that the red cow, which will be burned by the Mashiach, will be the tenth and final one, as with the absence of death, there will be no need but further such means of purification. That's the end of this essay. Does anybody have any questions on the first two essays? And we still have time for the third one. And this is another essay by Rabbi Horowitz. The Honor of the Heavenly Serpent. God cares more for the honor of the righteous than of his own honor. And Moses made a copper snake. The Tzor Hamor, in his commentary on Parashat Bo, in connection with the mezuzot and the mashkoh, the lintel, describes how jealous God was of the honor of the righteous, more so even than of his own honor. This is why the word mezuzot is plural, thus corresponding to Moses and Aaron, is mentioned first, whereas the word mashkoh, which is above the mezuzot, corresponding to God, is mentioned less. Last, Moses was unwilling to have that which symbolized God mentioned last. Therefore, when relaying the command, he mentioned the word mashkoh first. Compare God's commandment to Moses, and where Moses relays those instructions to Israel. We must be careful not to besmirch the honor of Torah scholars. We have a similar situation here. The people spoke up against God and against Moses, and God dispatched serpents and venomous snakes against them. He sent the serpents because they had spoken out against God, and the venomous snakes because of their having criticized Moses, who is compared to an angel of the seraph variety. In Hebrew, seraph also means serpent. Therefore, after the people repented, God told Moses to make a seraph, for himself and put it on a pole and other instructions. Moses, however, did not make a seraph. He rather made a snake, seeing that he considered restoring God's honor as more important than restoring his own honor, even though a seraph was what God had instructed him to make. For from all this, we learn to what extent we must be careful not to besmirch it, not to besmirch the honor of Torah. The honor of Torah scholars or righteous people. I think this is where we'll stop for tonight. Does anybody have any questions? Any comments? Tomorrow we have three classes at 11 a.m. and this is West Coast time. All times are West Coast time. At 11 a.m. we will have a Jewish history class. At 4:30 we will continue our study of section 14. And at our 7 o'clock class will be our generally questions and answers. I bid everyone Shalom Gadol. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.